I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
So I believe it is testimony time, amen. Oh, I said testimony time, amen. Let's put our hands together for Sister Maureen as she comes up to give us a powerful testimony, amen. Wow.
Amen. Are you all as excited as I am?
Oh, yes.
It's a great day in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. You know, I'm excited and I'm so grateful to God. I celebrated a birthday yesterday. It was a milestone birthday. I'm not shy to say that. And I just really thank God because I've been reflecting upon the goodness of the Lord over so many years, and how blessed I've been to have a relationship with Him and to experience His goodness. I'll summarize a few testimonies for a point that I just want to make. You know, being in this house, the house of Lighthouse itself, is a major testimony that for me has brought so many breakthroughs, and all my testimonies are connected to that. You know, if I think over just even within the last 10 years, there was a period when I wanted to transition in my life, in my career, and I decided that I was going to go get an MBA. I applied to 6 schools, top schools that I was dreaming I would get into. But because of the teaching in the house not to get into debt, I had made up my mind that no matter which of them I got into, if I wasn't getting money, even if there wasn't going to be a way for me to go without putting myself in debt, that I wasn't going to go to that particular school. And as it happened, you know, school after the other, one after the other, one after the other said no. The school that was my backup plan, right, the if all else fails, this is where I go, that in my heart I was like, I'm not, you know, that's just for exercising wisdom, but not because it's where I want to go. Now, that's the school that took me and gave me money. And another, you know, blessing of the house, besides not getting into debt, is the teaching on praying for the will of God to be done. Because that entire process, which for me had been a year, I kept praying, Lord, let your will be done. 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 And then at a certain point when the school started saying, no, 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 my prayer now began to be, let me accept your will. Because I realized it might be that other school. Help me to accept your will. Help me to accept your will. And by the time came, I accepted it. I went. And I realized that there's nothing better than being in the will of God. Because it opened so many doors. It brought so many blessings. At a point, I was tracking them. And within the 2-year period that I was in that school, I had 20 testimonies to give of major things that had happened in my life. You know, some of them being the fact that I was the first person in the school to get so many internships. Meanwhile, I'm willing to bet that I probably had the lowest GMAT score going into the school. I kid you not, right? But that's how the favor and the blessings of God work. And not just about getting internships, but one of the first people, in fact, I think the first, to get a full-time job after that, right? A job that I've been in up until now, or a company I've been in up until now, that has been of so much blessing to me that I actually really love being there, love what I'm doing, just happy, you know? And not a lot of people can do that. So I thank God for that. And then, you know, even as I look last year, right, Daniel and I had been looking for a doctor, a certain specialized type of doctor. And we had been doing so much research online, and, you know, kept trying to go by reviews and what we could see on the internet, which isn't that great. But I remember one day I was just packing, doing some things in my room, and just thinking to myself, oh, how I wish, you know, we knew somebody that could just refer someone that could say, I can vouch for this person. You know, well, lo and behold, just a few days later, I found myself on a work trip with a bunch of people from so many different places. There were only 2 of us there from California. And the other person that was from California, in a casual conversation at dinner, mentioned something about her husband that made me ask a question and discover that her husband is the type of doctor I needed. And, you know, like I said, when you're in the will of God or when he's showing you his goodness, it's just one thing after the other. Because we came back from the trip. She said, I'll connect you to my husband. Don't worry. He'll ask you for your medical records. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. Even asking for the medical records. When I called the people, they said, listen, we charge for it. When I look at the number of pages that you have, it's going to cost you a lot of money. But don't worry. I'll just send it to you. Just sign a consent form. So I was back on Monday back over the weekend. By Monday, I had made the call. That same Monday, I got it. By Tuesday, I was talking to the doctor. And not even talking to him as in some scheduled appointments during his work hours. This guy is a world-renowned key opinion leader. And in the evening, I had his home number, and he had just taken his time. These pages going through everything one by one to explain, and even knew the previous doctor we had been with in another state to say, listen, that doctor was actually very good. I know him. I know who trained him, blah, 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 blah. But here is why, you know, I think you should do something different, blah, blah, blah. And it was just amazing because how often, I mean, you go to a doctor's office, like 2 minutes, it's done. You know, and up until now, he's been such a great resource. But the testimony behind it, not just the fact that, you know, God heard what I was saying when I wasn't even actively praying. You know, it reminds me of a scripture that says that he knows our sits down and our gets, when we sit down and when we get up, and he knows our thoughts from afar off. So it's not a deliberate prayer that God, you know, can you help, blah, 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 blah. It was just me talking to myself, Charlie, how I wish I knew to do. And before I knew it, the Lord had answered, right? And then, you know, he did surgery. The surgery went well. I'm grateful for that. I don't take it for granted. People go into surgery and don't come back. Today, I find myself healthy. You know, this is actually supposed to have been the third testimony. The second testimony in between the two is the fact that, you know, I am reflecting over, like I said, the last 10 years, and I'm picking just a few, so allow me. But in that period when I went to the school and all those testimonies, I said there were 20 things I had tracked. One of them was God blessing me with a wonderful husband. An A1 husband that loves me, but more importantly, loves the Lord. So as a reminder, sisters, if your husband doesn't know how to love the Lord, or if you're seeing a guy that doesn't know how to love the Lord, he ain't gonna know how to love you. Take it from me. And so I thank God for that. Lastly, just this week, you know, I woke up on Tuesday and I had a song in my heart. It was a hymn. Now, I'm not somebody that sings hymns. Like, you know, I just don't. But you know, there was a period in my life when I spent a lot of time with my uncle, who's a Methodist minister, and his wife and kids all used to sing in the choir, etc. So I heard a lot of hymns. But when I got up, I couldn't remember the exact words of the hymn. All I could remember was, Great Redeemer, my great Redeemer. I was like, what song is this? What song? So using technology, WhatsApp, I hummed it to my cousins, the choristers, and I said, tell me what hymn this is. And in 5 seconds, she sent me the name plus the entire lyrics, which I used for my quiet time. And it was such a blessing, talking about the graciousness of the Lord. And that very day, LP Sarah sent me a text, and the first sentence says, the Lord is gracious. And I said, wow, indeed he's gracious. And I knew the Lord was telling me something. And I had been expecting some news that day. And when I went for the news, it was great news. And it was a testimony that indeed the Lord is gracious, and his graciousness was unfolding. So, you know, yesterday I lay on my bed before I got up, had my quiet time, everything. And I was just thinking, I was like, wow, it's my birthday. What am I going to do to celebrate? What type of fun are we going to be having today? I was just thinking about everything. And then the Holy Spirit just said, you know, even you as a man, you expect to be celebrated. You expect to be honored. You expect to, you know, have fun for whatever it is you may have done or have not done. But you think you deserve something. So now think about me. Think about the fact that I died for you. Think about the fact that I have taken care of you all these years, all these testimonies and blessings that you talk about. What do you think I feel? Do you not think that I also want to be shown something to reflect the gratitude that you ought to have for what I've done for you? And I was like, oh, wow. I mean, it was just so real. It was so real. And as I think about it, I think about the scripture. You know, Jesus said, I believe it was to Peter, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said it three times. The last time he said, if you love me, feed my lamb, right? And it is the person that loves you, that you're in a relationship with, that dictates how they want to be loved, right? So for someone, it may be giving gifts. For someone, it may be, you know, taking me out. For someone. So now if Jesus has defined for us what it means to love him, then we have no business thinking that, oh, because I'm not, you know, I think about the evangelism we did yesterday and talking to people saying, oh, I'm a good person. Why? Because I'm not a killer. I'm not a stealer. I'm not this. I'm not this. So I'm good. But how do you know that that's good enough in God's eyes? And they asked me that question, you know, and it's not ambiguous. It's not something that you can't know. The scripture does tell us. It tells us that if you love me, feed my sheep. So I wanted to testify to the goodness of the Lord because indeed he's been great. But I want to end it all to say that as I recognize so many blessings I've received, I'm sure that you can as well. And as I ask myself and as I renew my commitment to show God that I really love him and I'm grateful for what he's done for me, I want to encourage you to do the same. Think about what is it have you done for the Lord to show him gratitude for keeping you alive till today, for blessing you in all the ways that he has. Amen.
Wow. Oh, shall we put our hands together? Amen. What a powerful testimony. Amen. Oh, amen. Wow, it's too powerful. Thank you so much, Sister Maureen, for sharing that. Amen. Oh, we have a Father in the house. Amen. And he is anointed. Amen. And there is nobody else like him. Amen. Our Father, Apostle Joel. Amen.
Just wanted to make a correction. Paul says there's nobody else like me. That's not exactly true. Okay. And I'm not the one they're singing about. They're singing about Jesus. Amen. All right. What a blessing. Thank you so much for your song. Amen. And I think we should share a word of prayer before you sit down. Father, we thank you for the way you meet us Sunday after Sunday and speak a word to us, to guide us, to encourage us, to lift us up, to enlighten us, and to make us wiser than we were before. We pray today, Lord, that you will open our eyes to the truth of your word. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see wondrous things out of your law. May the Holy Spirit grant us understanding. Break down your word to us, Lord, and help us to live lives that glorify you. We pray that the truth will not be hidden from us today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, please be seated. Can I have some volume, please? No. A bit more sound so I don't have to shout. Amen.
Amen.
I was hoping that you guys had two songs to sing. Yeah, but it's okay. It's fine. This Friday, we're going to have our Easter convention. And we're going to have a Friday evening service. And then we're going to have Saturday evening service. And then we will have Sunday morning service. Okay? So it's Easter. Easter is for Christians.
Right.
Amen. And Christians must make a lot of noise about Easter. If we don't go to church and don't make a big deal of Easter, no one else will.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah.
So we who have been redeemed and washed by the blood of the Lamb must make the most of Easter. Amen.
Amen.
And so I want to encourage you to take some time off this weekend and spend it with us here on Friday evening at 7 and Saturday evening at the same time, and then on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Amen.
Amen.
And together we're going to have a very happy and a very powerful Easter. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in the spirit of Easter, I was sharing. I told you I'll introduce a book every Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So the book I want to introduce to you today is the book about demons and how to deal with them.
Wow.
Amen. I like to say demons and how to sort them out. All right. Yeah, demons and how to sort them out.
Right.
Now, we need to understand that the spiritual realm is real.
That's right.
That there is such a thing as a demon.
Yeah.
Evil spirits. Even movie directors understand that there is more to life than meets the eye.
Yeah.
So every Christian must also understand the reality of demonic influence and demons assigned to us to frustrate our Christian lives and to ensure that we never become who God has purposed for us to become in Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So this book right here will help you understand the nature of demons and the nature of their operations.
Yeah.
So you can recognize demonic activity when you see one.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because in every warfare, it is important to recognize who you're fighting. It's recognized to identify the opponent. It is the reason why teams wear uniforms. It's like when soccer teams are playing, they wear uniforms because they understand that there is a need to separate the opponent from the one who is playing on the same side as you. Do you understand? Otherwise, you end up empowering the opponent. You meet someone right around your goalpost and you hand him the ball and he calls you right there. And you realize, oh, that was not a friend. That was an enemy. That is how it is with demons. We need to understand and know when it's a demon. Hallelujah. There are many, many demonic manifestations that have very beautiful clinical names, you know, and so they are just tolerated. Do you get it? They're just, so long as some doctor can find some nice name for it, and a pharmacist can find a beautiful drug name for it, then some of these evil spirits live comfortably with us. You know, because we cater to them and we serve them and feed them with different kinds of sophisticated medication. You know, even you hear sometimes people announcing their medication and you see there's a little pride associated with it. That, you know, that I take all these tablets and these medicines and you see people name their medications with pride. It is because you don't know that it's an evil spirit that is tormenting you. And that evil spirit, when he's sorted out and when he's taken care of, you will not need to be on such a medication.
Right.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So here is the book. It's a very small book. You can read it in just one afternoon. And I believe it will bless your life. You will learn something. Amen. You will learn something that will bless you. Never shy away from increasing your knowledge.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says we live quiet and peaceable lives as our knowledge of God increases.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So as we increase in what we know about God, it's going to be a blessing to our everyday lives. Amen.
Amen.
This is right here at the end of the service. You can grab your copy. Amen. All right, so back to my message. Last Sunday, I started sharing with you about losing. Amen. Losing. So the title of my message today is Your Appointment with Losing. Your Appointment with Losing. Amen.
Amen.
Now, why are we talking about losing? We're talking about losing because it is important to have a balanced perspective on Christianity and what it involves. Amen. Most of us associate God with giving to us. God will bless you is the most common Christian phrase. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody say, God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah, tell your neighbor, God bless you. Right. Tell your neighbor, I see you being blessed by the Lord. Right. Hallelujah. Now, when you tell someone, I see you being blessed, the most common interpretation of that is God adding stuff to you. Is it not true? I see you being blessed means I see you receiving stuff, things being heaped on you. Isn't it? Be blessed. Be blessed. I said, be blessed. Amen. Now, as you go on with the Lord, you must begin to mature and upgrade your understanding of blessing to include losing. Do you see what I'm saying? So then sometimes when someone says to you, I see you being blessed, that blessing may be the blessing of loss. It may be the blessing of losing something. It may be the blessing of doing away with something in order for you to have a life that is blessed indeed. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, when you're preaching this kind of message, you have to generate the amens yourself. All right. So when I say amen, please remember to respond, because I know I'm not going to get any spontaneous ones, but I'll generate my own. And just you just cooperate with me and just respond. Amen. All right. Okay. Right. So I want you to read with me this verse right here. Well, let's start with this one from Jesus himself. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. The book of Matthew and chapter 16. And let's read from verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. Can you see that? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Amen.
Amen.
If any man will come after me, any man, anyone, there are no exceptions here. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, if anyone wants to come after me, if anyone wants to follow me, if anyone wants to be a follower of Christ, right? He said, let him deny himself. So it appears that losing is fundamental to following Christ. That when you start following Christ, you probably experience losing before you experience additions. You get it?
Yeah.
Look at the verse we're reading. He said, if any man will come after me, that is your part. You want to come after the Lord. Then the first step, he says, let him deny himself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then take up his cross and follow me. So the following will begin after the denial. So it looks like the loss comes first.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the following that will lead us into the blessing.
Yeah.
Perhaps the following will lead into many great blessings and so on. But before we get there, it looks like the denial, you know, losing something, saying no to yourself. Yourself has to lose something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, today we have a new kind of Christianity that is more like, if any man will come after me, let him just come, keep everything, and let's just roll on. Yeah, lose nothing, keep everything, and let's just roll on. You know, if any man will come after me, let him just keep everything he has, keep everything, you know, don't lose anything, or take it all up and follow me with it. Right? It's a new kind of Christianity, you know. And no wonder our Christianity today is so watered down and so weak and, in fact, so unattractive to many people. Actually, there are a lot of people who don't even see why they should bother to be Christian, because the change in a person's life is not radical enough. You know, it's not significant enough for all the trouble. I mean, why should you, you know, forfeit your sleep on Sunday morning? And why should you drive, you know, sometimes very far places and go through so much, you know, just to belong to something that barely changes you? Do you see what I'm saying? That if you never went to church, you really wouldn't lose much. You're pretty much who you are, in church or without church. Do you see? And so Christianity is not very attractive to people these days. But I want you to know that the truth is still the truth. Amen. And the truth still marches on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hallelujah. Verse 25 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. So in Christ, the way we find our lives is to be prepared to expose it to loss. Hallelujah. You have to be prepared to lose some things in order to find the life you're trying to have in Christ. Hallelujah. Right? Now, he says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So your soul is very precious and very valuable, and it's worth anything you lose in order to gain it. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. It's worth anything you lose in order to gain it. Wow. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. These are not the words of a pastor. These are the words of a pastor who is reading the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, the second verse I'd like us to read today is Philippians. Oh, well, before we go to Philippians, Mark, since we're already in the Gospels, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is a very interesting chapter. So Mark chapter 10, and let's read from, let's say, verse 21. Okay, maybe we can read from verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Hallelujah. Is it a good question? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Amen. That what should I do so that when I die one day, I'll go to heaven? Or when Jesus comes, we'll go to heaven. Amen. So Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Right? These are the words of Jesus. So if you commit adultery, you will not go to heaven. you will not have eternal life. Right? I mean, this is the easiest preaching. Right? Just telling you what Jesus said. Okay? So this is not a pastor's opinion or anything. I mean, if I was to have an opinion, I don't think it would be like this. I think I'll probably say, I mean, so long as you don't have more than two or three. You get it? Just for variety. You get it? I would probably say, you're allowed, everyone is allowed one tall one, one short one, and then one medium size. Just, yeah. And I'd probably keep it that way. You get it? All right. So my selfish male unredeemed instincts will make me have such a thought. Do you get it? But Jesus has the purest of thoughts, and his opinion about everything is the best. Hallelujah. And Jesus said that, the guy said, I want to know what to do to inherit eternal life. Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. That's number one. Jesus said, do not kill. So people who kill cannot expect to inherit eternal life. Do you understand? Number three is do not steal. So people, thieves, people who steal, whether you're stealing people's identities or stealing people's cars or stealing people's money, they are people's beloveds. You get it? Yeah. A beloved is another person's sweetheart. Do you understand? Yes, in our church we call that a beloved. So people who steal other people's beloveds, you know, is like trapping someone's pet. Do you see? The Bible says they will not inherit eternal life. What a thing to lose heaven over. Okay, so try to find your own beloved. Amen. Yeah. All right. Next one is people who bear false witness, right? People who say, I saw it when they didn't see it. People who say he did it when they know he didn't do it. People who intentionally go out of their way to make others look bad so that they can rise. People who talk about other employees and other people at work and in school just to sort of cause them to lose ratings with the boss. In order for them to rise, the Bible says they are bearing false witness, and such people will not inherit eternal life. Amen. Then another one, he said, defraud not. Okay, so defraud not. These are the commandments. Jesus was just reminding the gentleman that these are the things you need to do if you want to inherit eternal life. And one of them is don't cheat people. Amen. Amen. Don't cheat people. Don't swindle people. Don't defraud people of what rightfully belongs to them. Amen. Amen. Now, one common kind of defrauding that takes place often very secretly is the kind of defrauding that goes on between spouses, people who are married to each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible says, husbands must not defraud their wives, and wives must not defraud their husbands. Hallelujah. So it's also defrauding. You know, and so I don't know, where's the verse? Where did it go? Okay, you're showing us that verse, right? Okay, since you're there, read the verse before, verse 4, right? It says, the wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise, also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. So there's the owner, and there's the one who has the power over it, isn't it? So once you get married, you know, these are all optional challenges and difficulties. You don't have to have this, right? You don't have to have this. That is why you were not born a wife or a husband. These are all optional things you choose to step into. You see, but once you step into it, you have to live by the rules. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like yesterday when I got on the plane, then they came around and said, you have to wear your seatbelt. You know, and these days they have all these mamas on the plane. They treat the passengers like their kids. You know, so I had this one who came by and said to me, sir, you got to wear your seatbelt, right? And I had to because I'm on it. But when I'm walking around freely, I don't have to wear a seatbelt. Do you see what I'm saying? So there are some things you don't have to get yourself into that situation if you're not up to it. The problem is when you want the situation, but you don't want to live by the rules, then you're going to have some mama shouting at you, and that's not going to make you very happy. Amen. All right? So the wife has not power. It didn't say the girl, so you can be the girl, right? But the wife, she has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband, right? Brother Lord, did you hear that? I said, likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife, right? So it's your body, you wash it, you dress it up and everything, but the power belongs, the remote control is with someone else. Hallelujah. Now, the next verse says, because of this, right, defraud not one another, right? So if the thing belongs to you and I have the power over it and I am not allowed to exercise my powers, you get it, then I'm being defrauded. What do you think? Yeah, and Jesus said, people who defraud one another are in danger of eternal life. I don't know. But it's just, I'm just reading the Bible to you. Okay, so except it be with consent, all right, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. All right, so it's either I have my way or go and pray. All right, so... So maybe you can just ask a simple question. Do you want to fast today and pray? Or can I have some fellowship? And then you just choose. You say, if you want to fast today, then say, oh no, I want to fast. Okay, yeah. You can go over there and pray, right? And then come together again that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency, right? Okay, so let's go back to... losing. Okay. So the verse we were reading, with the one, okay, says defraud not, right? Then another thing is to honor thy father and mother, isn't it? Yes. Jesus said, you know the commandments, right? Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And one of the things you must not do is to dishonor your mother and father. Amen. He says, if you want to inherit eternal life, do not dishonor your mother and your father. Amen. Now, I don't know, you know, this cannot be overemphasized. Amen. If you want to live a blessed life, you must learn to honor your father and your mother. Amen. You must learn to honor your father and your mother. You see, sometimes because you have not become a father yet or a mother yet, it is a little difficult for you to appreciate what it means for someone to be your mother or what it means for someone to be your father, you know. But right from conception, from the time you hijack somebody's body, and grow up in it. Do you get it? Live inside someone's body and cause them all sorts of inconveniences for long periods of time. Do you see? And sometimes leave the body and change it permanently. Do you understand? There is no way you can pay back that rent. You can't pay it back. You can never say thank you enough to the person on whose laps you grew up, the person who fed you when you didn't even know what food was. You know, you see, little babies think everything is food. They put everything in their mouth. But thank God for the one who sorts it out for you. Thank God for the one who says, not this one, this one. Yeah, and sometimes even when they give you the right one, you fight. You know, you even fight against what is good for you. You know, so when we have gone through life with such people who have been with us, who stay up with us, when you're not asleep, they can't sleep. You know, they have to be with you. They have to call the doctor. They have to call their boss at work and say, I can't come in today because my daughter is sick or my son is sick. They have to go to the hospital. And that happens for a good long period in your life. Then finally, you get your act together and you can now know your left from your right, you know, and then you say that they do not matter. You cannot go scot-free for that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot go scot-free. And you know, let me just say this, that when you marry someone, allow them to honor their mother and father. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't just intercept somebody's life, you know, when it's been put together and shaped up beautifully and it looks attractive to you and you just grab it and say thank you and then throw their parents away and then just start living. Do you see? So another group of parents that have to be respected are the in-laws.
That's right.
You see, that's your mother and your father-in-law must be honored as well.
That's right.
Can I have an amen? Amen. So if the person is your mother and is your father, whether it's in law or not, or out law, you have to honor them as well. Amen. You have to honor them. You have to respect them. You have to send them gifts. You have to show them love. And you have to tolerate them. If that word is appropriate. I don't know if it is. But if it is appropriate, you have to cope with people because of who they are and have been to you. Can I have an amen? And the scripture says that if you do that, it shall be well with you. If you do it, it shall be well with you. If you do that, it shall be well with you. Hallelujah. It shall be well with you if you honor your mother. It shall be well with you if you honor your father, the person through whom you have life. Amen. Some people fight with their fathers and fight with their mothers. Some people hate their parents. And yet, your nose is exactly their nose. You know, you get your beautiful nose from them. And you still are angry all the time with them. It's not a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody that's not a blessing. Yeah. You get it. Sometimes a whole lot of things will happen to you because you don't honor your father and your mother. And you need to fix that relationship. Amen?
Amen.
So whoever you have come to know as your mother and your father, whether they are biological or not, you see, whoever you've come to know as a mother and father in your life, set them apart and honor them. Amen. Don't argue with them. Just honor them. Amen. And it will be well with you. So Jesus told the guy that one of the things you need to include there is honoring your father and your mother. Then the next verse. And he answered and said to him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth.
Wow.
Good guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He has done all these things since he was a kid. Some of us are starting rather late. But this guy has done it right from his youth. And then verse 21 says, Jesus beholding him, loved him. So if you do these things, God is going to love you. Amen. Yeah. Jesus beholding him loved him and said, one thing you're missing. One more thing you're missing. You get it. You've done all of those things, but there's one more. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up your cross, because there is no following Christ without a cross. So he said, come, take up the cross and follow me. Right. Now, this is where the problem began. So the next verse says, the man was sad. He was sad at the saying. So it's not surprising that sometimes preaching can offend you. Do you get it? Wow. Sometimes you can be sad because of what the preacher said. Wow. Right? They were sad in the days of Jesus too. And he went away grieved. So he probably left church very early. You get it? Right after the service, he was gone. I mean, because he didn't want to say hello to the preacher who had just been saying all these things to him. Right? And then he says it was because he had great possessions. Do you understand? So, you know, sometimes you may be shouting amen, amen, because it doesn't affect you so much. You get it? What the pastor is saying, it doesn't affect you so much. Yeah. You see, he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, yeah, because you're not caught up in any triangle, you see. But somebody else cannot shout so easily. You get it? It says he had great possessions. And the next verse, it says he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Right? And then, next verse. Then the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Right? Then the next verse. Next verse. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Right? Next verse. 26. And they were astonished out of measure. Blown away. Blown away. So what? I can't wait for the service to be over. I will never come here again. They said, who then can be saved? Hey, Jesus, who then can be saved? Because we all love riches. We all love stuff. You know, and we came to follow you probably because we thought we would have stuff. But now the way the preaching is going, Lord, who then can be saved? Verse 27, then Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. So with God, all things are possible. Amen. With God, it's possible for you to give up anything you have to give up in order to follow him. Amen. Then the next verse, he says, Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. He said, by the way, Lord, I want to remind you that we have left everything and we have followed you. Hallelujah. We have left everything and have followed you. We have left everything. We have left all and have followed you. Amen. It is very likely that following Jesus will mean leaving something behind. Hallelujah. Leave something behind if you want to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. If you really, really have to go, then you may have to leave something behind. Amen. You may have to leave something behind. Hallelujah. And this is the message of losing. That you have to be prepared to lose something if you want to be on board with Christ. Amen. One time I was traveling and I think I was a bit late getting to the airport or so. And the people at the counter told me, we can take you if you're prepared to lose something. Because it's past the time to check bags. So if you insist on going with your bag, then you cannot be on this flight. And so I had to make a choice between the bag and making it onto the flight. And then I decided that no, it was more important to me to go than. So I quickly thought through what is in the bag. I started to think, what is in the bag? You know, then I started to think and sort of evaluate my sacrifice and assess the whole situation to take that decision. In the end, I decided that this bag, precious as it is not worth what I'll lose if I don't make that flight. Are you getting what I'm saying? All of us have to make that kind of a decision. Amen. Amen. You have to make a decision and assess and weigh the and balance. Think about what it is costing you, you know, to live a certain life in Christ Jesus and be prepared to pay the price. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That it's going to cost you something. Amen. Christianity is not free. Look at it. We are reading all these verses. People are losing things all the time. And Jesus is not changing the standards for certain people. As you can see, this is a very wealthy guy. The Bible says he had great possessions. Do you get it? Today, when people who have great possessions join the church feels really blessed. Do you see what I'm saying? And Jesus could have felt really blessed that finally someone who has great possessions has come to join the church. Do you understand? They will not have to catch fish to pay their taxes anymore. They will not be borrowing people's boats, you know, to preach and so on and so forth, eating in people's houses. Jesus said the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Finally, here comes someone who owns maybe a chain of properties, you know, who will help the Son of Man to have somewhere to lay his head. Finally, do you see? So he could have found different ways to accommodate this person and keep him in there. But the thing is that the price doesn't change anyone. Hallelujah. That's why Peter said, Lord, we want to remind you that we have left all and followed you. Amen. So if you're following Christ and your following of Christ is leading you into having to leave something behind, know that it's just the way it is. Amen. Amen. Nothing unusual is happening to you. You are actually entering true Christianity. Because all true Christians will come to that place of having to lose something in order to make it aboard the flight of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Now the third verse for today is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. You know, Philippians chapter 3. And verse 7, he said, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Isn't it? Yeah. He's saying that some things that were beneficial to me, some things that I loved, some things that were precious to me, some things, what things were gained? They were gained to me. They were not useless to me. They were things that were precious to me. They were beneficial to me. They were even advantageous for me to have. But I counted those loss for Christ. Amen. That means in exchange for Christ. I gave those up so I can have Christ. Look at the next verse, verse 8. Verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, I mean, without a doubt, right? That's my general attitude towards everything. Do you see? He said, doubtless, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. All you have to do is to come up as a competition, you know, with my relationship with Christ and you are gone. That's what he's saying. He said, I do that with everything, all things. Once they come up and they start to struggle and wrestle with me for my relationship with God, they are gone. I consider them but loss. I've lost them. Hallelujah. We don't lose things just because they are useless. But he said, the things I lost are things that are beneficial to me. I love them. They relax me. They make me happy, you know. But he said, I counted them loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That knowing Christ is of far greater value, far greater value, far greater value, you know. Knowing Christ is of far greater value than those things. He says, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He's saying suffered because some losses are painful. Some losses are painful. Some losses are painful. I know people who have lost sometimes relationships, and even they broke up the relationships, but they cry breaking up the relationship. You would have thought that if they were breaking up the relationship, then they wouldn't be crying. You know, but they are basically living the truth that it's painful to lose you. It's painful to lose you, but where I'm headed and where you are headed, I might as well lose you anyway. It's just painful. It's just sad. It's just pathetic that I have to go it alone at this point after being used to your company for so long. Sometimes you think about the times you spent together, the times you spent at Starbucks together, you know. You think about all the movies you've seen together, all the warm Saturday nights, you know. Yeah, the warm Saturday nights. Sometimes you think about all the photographs on Facebook. You get it together. You see, yeah. What are you going to do with all these his and hers clothes? You know, you bought the t-shirts, you bought his, and then you bought hers, you know. What about the artist who drew a picture of you and him? You know, custom-made photographs and very special photographs that were taken. What about all of those things? What are you going to do with them? Do you see beautifully framed pictures, expensive stuff that you have together? And now we're going our separate ways. It is painful. So don't blame me if I say I have suffered loss of all things. Do you understand? And then sometimes you have to do what Paul did, which is that you have to count them as dung. Because sometimes you're losing something, but your perspective on its value has not changed. So it makes it difficult to lose. Do you understand? It makes it difficult to lose. Like you have a pair of shoes which your foot has outgrown. All right? Now, you have the option of reminding yourself of the pain it causes you when you wear it. Or reminding yourself of the price you paid when you bought it. One of them is going to make you want to hold on to it. The other one will make you give it up quickly. When you think of the pain and how you come home with a swollen foot and how you can't even walk for 2 days for wearing that shoe for 1 day. Every day with the shoe is 2 days off work. Do you see what I'm saying? That will make you part with it quickly. But then when you remember that this is the only pair of shoes from Versace or some expensive shop or someplace like that, yeah? What are the big names? Like what?
Jimmy Choo.
Okay. Jimmy Choo's. Yeah. Now this is the only Jimmy Choo's you have in your collection. Everything else is payless. Right? So everything else is payless. Like from the wall all the way. Payless, 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 payless. Small variety is Walmart. And then back to payless. Then suddenly Jimmy Choo's. You get it? So this is the only Jimmy Choo's, I mean. And you don't want to part with it. It's the reason why people keep a lot of junk. Because your eyes are on the wrong thing. You see, your eyes are on something that fuels value into the thing when it should be on what takes out value from the thing. So Paul said that, you see, those things, remember, before he called them gain. The things were gain to me. Now, down here, he's saying that I count them. I count them. The things are not dung. I count them that these are dung. Do you understand? It's the way I look at it. The way I look at it, if you're going to part with something, you have to look at it from the right perspective. You have to see the dung in it. You have to see the uselessness of it. You have to see the pain that goes with having it. You have to see how much that thing affects your life. How much it affects your Christian life. It makes you completely useless as a Christian. It renders you, it totally disables your Christianity and makes you equal to an unbeliever. And with your eye on that, anything is easy to lose. But as long as you continue to think about, you know, what it does for you. So what am I going to do on Saturdays? What am I going to do when the weather gets cold? You know, what am I going to do, you know, on Valentine's Day? Yeah. You see, this is the, okay, why don't I just finish this Valentine's Day and then maybe we can look at the relationship again, right? Last Valentine's Day, I spent a lot of money on him or her, you know, and this is my turn, you know. Because we promised that it was going to be one for me, one for you. So last Valentine's Day was his turn, my turn to spread him and spend a lot of money on him. And I did, you know. And now, as it's coming up to my turn, this preacher is going on and on and on about losing and about Christ. You know, so what about waiting until after Valentine's Day and then we can sort it out. You know. Yeah. Because it shouldn't He said, I do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. So it's a question of whether Christ is that precious to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether Christ is that precious to you. And also whether having Christ is considered by you as a win. Do you see that having Christ, do you see it as a win? You know, many people are very passive to having Christ and indifferent to it. It's like having Christ or not having him does not make a difference. But having Christ, is it a win? Paul said the most appropriate word to use here is win. Winning always goes with reward. Winning goes with celebration. Winning goes with congratulations. He says, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. Hallelujah. And so it is important that you expect to have to count some things as dung in order that you may do what? That you may win Christ. How many want to win Christ? How many want to win Christ? Amen. Now, what are some of the things you're going to have to lose? I'm going to give you three or four things that a Christian can expect to lose. One of them is losing the kind of music you listen to. You know, losing the kind of music you listen to. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Now, let me just read this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Do you get it? Then he says, all things are lawful for me, all things edify not. Okay? So lawful means there's nothing wrong with it. Isn't it? There's nothing wrong with it. It's not evil. That's lawful. Means you're not breaking any laws, you know, engaging it or engaging yourself with it. But he says, all things edify not. That means they do not build up. Do you get it? They do not build up. Hallelujah. You know, do you have, Kawi, do you have another version? Just throw another version on there so that we can break it down a little bit. It says, all things, any other version, just any other version. New Living Translation or something, right? It says, all things are legitimate, that is permissible, and we are free to do anything we please. But not all things are helpful, expedient, profitable, and wholesome. All things are legitimate, but not all things are constructive to character and edifying to spiritual life. Wow. Look, thank you for that verse. Okay, after service today, I think I have to buy her some ice cream. Yeah. Amen. Preaching made easy. Right? Look at that. All things are legitimate. Yeah. Right? All things are permissible, and we are free to do anything. Look, once you cross the age 18, your rules really reduce. You get it? Your rules really reduce. Lots of things you are allowed to do. You get it? Once you have a cell phone in your pocket, you're allowed to view whatever you want to. It's your personal screen. You can look at anything you want to look at. Do you understand? Once you are paying the bill, hey, even when someone is paying the bill for you, you can still, it's your screen. You can still see anything you want to see. You see, but now we're talking about honesty and sincerity. Do you get it? We're talking about personal integrity. You say that you want to be a follower of Christ. You can't deceive yourself. He said, not all things are helpful and expedient or profitable and wholesome. Profitable is a word you all easily recognize, because profit is just what you gain minus what it cost you to gain it. Do you understand? And he said that some things, when you do them, what it brings you versus what it takes out of you to get what it brings you leaves you in the minus. And that is the truth. That there are some liberties that you exercise, and no one can challenge you, and no one can fight you over those things, and no one will. But if you be honest with yourself, you will find out that whatever you're calling gain out of whatever it is versus what it is taking out of you to have that gain leaves you in the minus. You're worse off than you started. Then he says, all things are legitimate, but not all things are constructive to character. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So don't ask me, so is it good or not to put my hand on the butt of my beloved? Well, you find out. You decide. Because all things are legitimate. It's permissible. You're 18 or you're an adult and you've seen someone, I love you, you love me, and the two of you agree. Put your hand anywhere you want. But you just ask yourself. It says, not all things are constructive to character. See, sometimes you come to church, you're singing, you know. We lifting up holy hands to you. And the devil said, put those hands down now. Shut up. And put those hands down now. Yeah. And only you are hearing those voices. See, and the rest of us have our hands up. And for you, your hands have to come down. Then they have to go like that. Hallelujah. All things are legitimate, but not all things are constructive. So stop asking what is wrong with it. That question is not here. We've passed the stage of is it right or is it wrong? We're asking, God is expecting you to get to a place where you can now make your own personal you know, judgment about what this is adding to you or subtracting from you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says all things are helpful and expedient, is profitable. Not all things are helpful, expedient, profitable, or wholesome. All things are legitimate, but not all things are constructive to character. Some things don't help your character. You get it? Some people you hang out with introduce you to so many new things. They introduce you to so many things. You get it? So one of them is your music. The music you listen to, sometimes the words, the lyrics in the music, they leave you just charged up and imagining. Do you get it? Yeah. They just fuel your imagination and your brain just gets swollen up with ideas and thoughts. And then some of us also listen to songs that depress us.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I tell you. Did I tell you how I was listening to one song one time when my wife was my beloved? And she and I had a fight, you know, and then I went on a bus after that. And on this bus, I was sitting right under. Oh, you were on the bus with me too. Okay. So I see. So the fight was just before the bus trip. Okay. All right. So then we get on this bus and we're like sitting like here, and that's the speaker, you know, and as you know, I'm angry and it's like, I'm not going to talk to her. And she's also feeling very good. She's not going to talk to me. And we're just there. And then the driver starts playing this song that says, "It must have been love, but it's over now. It must have been good, but I lost it." I began to tremble. I thought it was over. You know, and then the devil started to minister to me. You know, this is like, you know, this is just confirmation. You get it? This is not constructive. It's not constructive to character. Even though it's permissible, it's not constructive to character. Yes, and if you have any power over this, then you need to do yourself the favor of shutting it off.
Yeah.
Yes. You need to do yourself. Listen, you must love yourself enough to do yourself favors that help you. Only you.
Wow.
Amen. Yeah. You must love yourself enough and cherish your relationship with the Lord enough to do yourself favors that help you. No one will even know that you've been helped by it. But you know, if you're honest, you know that this step I took really made a big difference in my life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. You know that this is a real blessing for me that I did this, that I threw this away or that I deleted this app.
Yeah.
You know, these days you're just sometimes even just playing bland music on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then as you're just watching the video, suddenly, yeah. You don't know how, you know, you just the next video that sort of loads up, it's just something else. And then you just keep going and keep going and keep going, you know? Yeah. And you keep asking yourself the wrong question. What's wrong with looking or watching stuff on YouTube? Because you're just asking the wrong question. And as long as the question is wrong, the answer will be wrong. The question is misleading. It's not about right or wrong. It's about what it is doing to your character.
Yeah.
What it's destructive to your character. Watching a lot of soap operas about cheating and how to cheat cleverly, and watching a lot of movies about relationship being destroyed and so on, you're actually psychologically being set up to expect that.
Yeah.
If I was now going to get married, one of the things I'll look out for is what the person has been watching.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that thing has sort of shaped up her mind and shaped her expectations of me.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in a relationship where you start as accused until you prove yourself innocent. No. At least you must be entitled to some neutrality. At least start as a neutral, good person. You know, and then you must be given the chance to prove that you are a bad person. But many people start a relationship as accused. You're already a bad guy. Bad. Yes. You're already taken as a bad guy. And that is coming from just hours and hours of watching all kinds of movies and soap operas and reading novels and books where there's a lot of cheating and a lot of the whole thing is set outside the Bible. So there's no righteousness in there. Everything is the way unbelievers are supposed to live. And after feeding on those things for years and years and meditating on them, you know, you come to expect that. You come to expect that. So the whole thing is driven by suspicion, explanations. You have to explain yourself. You have to explain where you were. You have to explain why you didn't pick up when I called. You have to turn on your location, isn't it? Location? Yes. The person has turned it on. I know someone who took another person's cell phone and sent a text to her husband to see how he will respond. Do you understand? Oh, you don't understand. All right. So I take Maureen's cell phone, you know, and it has a number that, let's say, my wife would not recognize. So then I send her a text message. Hi, baby. How you doing? Do you see? And just to see how she'll respond. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, this is marital detective work. Do you get it? With no pay. When you're sleeping, the person has to go quickly through your phone and just be looking. Who's this person? Who's this person? Then go into the history. Photos, then scan through the photos quickly. Then go to recently deleted, just to check what has been deleted. Then when the person is coming, what kind of relationship with that? We can't even enjoy each other.
Oh yeah.
We spend so much time trying to ensure that we are the only ones for each other, that we are left with very little time to enjoy what it is. It's like someone who spends all the time reading about the ingredients in the food. By the time you finish, it's time to leave. You can't eat it. You can't eat it. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So the things we are watching and all these things, they're affecting us.
Yeah.
And they would destroy our relationships even before we begin them.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes some things are just destroyed right from the start.
Yeah.
It's just they're yet to be experienced.
Yeah.
But it's bad from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's bad, bad.
Bad.
It's doomed. Right from the beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So your music, another one is your friends. Another one is your friends. You have to be prepared to lose some friends. Not every friend will come along with you in your walk with Christ. Not everyone you call friend will come along with you. Amen. Now, it's interesting how we're prepared to lose friends when we quarrel with them. We call them best friends and so on, but when we have to quarrel, we're prepared to just part with them. But we're not prepared to separate ourselves from these same people for the sake of Christ, that we may win Christ. Hallelujah. If you have friends among whom you always feel odd and awkward, you feel odd and awkward because you don't drink, because you won't do most of the things they do, even to go to church, you have to hide. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to pretend you're going shopping just to sneak into church. You're with the wrong friends. Yeah. You're with the wrong friends. Sometimes when you're with the wrong people, right can feel wrong. Do you see? When you're doing the right thing, but the setting is so negative and is so wrong that even right rather feels wrong. The one who is doing right is the one who feels odd. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, it's going to cost us friends. But I tell you, Jesus told the people, anyone who has lost anything for my sake and the kingdom of God's sake will have those same things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will give you friends that stick closer than a brother.
Amen.
God will give you friends. God will give you new friends. New friends that will stick closer to you than a brother.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Another thing is jobs, right? Jobs and businesses. Hallelujah. Right? Now, when it comes to jobs and businesses, you know, it gets kind of tricky because we earn an income from it. You see, then the income we earn from it seems to be justification for having it regardless of what it does to our faith. But it's not true. If your job was exposing you to cancer, would you still have it?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
If your job was exposing you to dangers, would you still have it for the sake of having an income? Like the job you're doing is exposing you to cancer. Huh? But you say, well, that's the only way I can pay my rent and whatnot. So you still have it? Yeah, people give up things. People even give up jobs because the jobs don't allow them to pick up their kids on time.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
people choose a life of poverty and to be without.
Yeah.
So then what it is that we have not considered gaining Christ worth what we have to lose or gain from that job. That's what it is. That Christ is not that precious to us. Because if Christ was, when the thing is precious to you, you are prepared to lose anything for it. When your life is precious to you, they tell you something causes cancer, you just give it up.
Yeah.
You just give it up. So what we are really dealing with, and just be honest with yourself and address that. Look, how precious is Christ to me? Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe if you'd rather be sincere and pray about it and say, Lord, I realize you don't mean as much to me as you ought to mean for someone who gave his life for me.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed that, you know, it doesn't appear like you mean as much to me as help me.
Yeah.
Then God will help you.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
But if you argue and pretend that's not the case, oh, no, you see, you are just not being honest.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a job that constantly puts you with unbelievers, always sets you up with unbelievers, hearing swear words, curse words, different things, you know. At a point, you know, the Bible says Lot vexed his righteous soul because of the things he saw and heard every day because of where he lived.
Wow.
We're all affected by the things we see and hear. Soon you'll be using curse words. Yeah, you get it? You come to church and then the choir will sing and you say, what the F? Then you realize, oh, it's church. Yeah.
Preaching.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's a good message.
So we're affected by all those things. Amen. And pray about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not saying drop the job immediately, but start looking.
Yeah.
Because that's what you would do.
Yeah.
If you had a job that was making you sick, you start looking.
Yeah.
You start looking and you start looking for an alternative. Is there some other way of living without doing this?
Yeah.
And because you start searching, God will provide.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? God will provide. God will provide. Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac and it was really getting to him. But he said, I'm going to do it. And as he headed there, he was surprised. When he got there, he didn't have to lose Isaac at all.
Yeah.
God had provided something else that was far more suitable for the sacrifice than Isaac.
Yeah.
Do you see? God will provide for you.
Amen.
No, you better believe that God will provide for you.
Amen.
Start looking again. Pray about it. Because you're willing to lose it for Christ's sake. Jesus said you will find it.
Amen.
Yes, Jesus said you will find it.
Hallelujah.
He said those who lose their lives for my sake, they will find it. You will find it.
Amen.
You will find it.
Hallelujah.
Anything that following Christ has cost you, Jesus said, you will find it. I promise you, you will find it. So expect to find your life. Amen. Expect to find whatever it is you have lost. Expect to find it. And God will bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. So our movies, our music, our jobs, our friends, these are common things we will have to lose if we want to pursue a meaningful life with Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I think our time is up, so please stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. It has been up for a while, actually. Amen. Let's just pray. Everybody, please close your eyes and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Just take a moment and talk to God about your life and say, Lord, I realize, you know, the disciples said, who can be saved? This thing is so difficult. Who can be saved? That's when Jesus said, with men it is impossible. That means if it was left to you alone, yes, you can do it. But he said, with God. That means with God's help. With God on your side, with God standing by you, the most difficult thing becomes possible. You can do it. You can do it. So pray in all sincerity and honesty. Some need to ask God for new friends. Some need to ask God for new ideas, a new way to live. A new way to sustain yourself. You need to sincerely ask God. Say, Lord, I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to keep working in a place where I am the minority. I'm always awkward. I'm always odd. When they're going out to drink, I can't join them. When they're going out to smoke, I can't join them. When they're going out talking about the weekend and how they spent it following girls and guys and so on, I can't share in all of this. Lord, take me out of this environment and help me to be a true Christian. Just pray, everybody. This is a real personal time. Just having a personal relationship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take my life. Take my life. I serve. Been sacrificed all my dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them, Lord, I place them in your hands. I give myself away. Give myself Father, we thank you for today and thank you for everything you have taught us. We pray that you help us to live by them in Jesus' name. Now, before we close, I want to give you an opportunity if you're here this afternoon and you're saying, I want to begin my walk with Jesus today. I want to give my life to Christ. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be a true follower of Jesus. You know, there are things we desire in our hearts, but we can't do them ourselves. God will have to help you. And it begins by having Jesus come into your heart and live his life through you. It is not natural for you to come up with all the right desires and the right things to do and so on, but something on the inside must work to generate what you want to see on the outside. And that is to have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So I want to give you this opportunity this afternoon to give your life to Jesus. To ask Jesus to come into your heart. To make Jesus Lord over your life. To ask Jesus to live his life through you. I want to give you that opportunity. And if you're here this afternoon and you want to take that opportunity, just stand right where you are. Just raise up your right hand and I would like to see it and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? While every eye is closed and everybody is having a private moment with your Lord, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Is there anybody here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we just say this prayer together, everybody? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to serve you. I want to be a true child of God. So Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me, Lord. And make me a child of God. Help me to be a true Christian. I have struggled, Lord Jesus. But today I know that what is impossible with men is possible with God. That is why I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Live your life through me. Pour your life forth into me and help me to live for you. I dedicate my life to you. Help me, Lord. All the things I have to lose, people, jobs, friends, music, movies, whatever it is that I have to lose, I'm prepared to lose it. If you will strengthen me, Lord, if you will help me, I know I can count on your help. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, while you're still standing, we want to come to the Lord's table. We want to have communion. Bring this round and let everybody grab one. Just bring that one to everybody. And our lives have just begun in this. If you share this, we are young and will live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table. Pray. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ and thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the body that was broken for us to redeem us, because to us, to you, we are precious. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless this communion. Bless these tokens, oh God, of the body and the blood. Let the body bring life. Let the blood bring life. Let it bring healing to our bodies in the name of Jesus. Let it bring strength, spiritual strength, Lord, to be able to say no when we have to say no, to be able to say yes when we have to say yes, to be able to live lives that glorify you, oh God, instead of lives that bring reproach to you. Lord, often we have been such poor examples of people who profess to know you. But I pray that today, as we take communion, Lord, as we partake in this sacrament, we pray in the name of Jesus that your blessing will be upon it. Let sickness be healed.
Amen.
Every sickness is being healed this afternoon. Every disease is being addressed this afternoon. Every weakness in you is being addressed today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the bread and say the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. And then take the wine. And say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. And you may drink. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old. exchange it.
And exchange it someday for a crown.
So I'll cherish, come on.
So tell my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling to the old ragged cross and exchange it someday for.
Father, we thank you for the blessings of the cup and the blessings of the body. The Bible says, if we do not eat the body of Jesus Christ, we have no life in us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the life you have imparted into us. What we couldn't do before, we will be able to do in the name of Jesus. Every difficult Christian life is being enabled by the power of God. And what was impossible is becoming possible in the name of Jesus. What was impossible is becoming possible in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for your people that you will bless them. Open doors for them. Give them opportunities. Those who need jobs, Lord, grant them favor. Show them your mercy. Open doors, supernatural doors, such as they never expected, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray for the lonely ones, Lord, that you will provide for them companions, Lord. Bring them people who love them and cherish them and appreciate them and value them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that those who need financial breakthroughs, that, Father, you will visit them.
Amen.
You are a God of impossibilities. Because with you, what is impossible becomes possible. Because with you, doors that were closed can now be opened. Because with you, issues that were otherwise closed can be reopened, oh God. So I pray that you will step in on behalf of your children, on behalf of everyone who dares to look up to you, anyone who expects something from you, oh God. The Bible says the eyes of all living things wait upon you, and yet you open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will open your hand and satisfy all our desires. From the different backgrounds and different places we all have come today, Lord, we have different needs. We have different challenges, different difficulties that beset our lives. But you are a God who is able to open your hand. And in that one hand, every living thing can find their satisfaction. And I pray that hand will be opened towards your people today. Open that hand towards your sons and daughters today in the name of Jesus. And provide, oh God, provide, provide for your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.